to remind everybody they were irked enough to take no prisoners. Toad Killer Dog squeezed through the tight halls and down steep, narrow stairs to the deep cellar the Limper had taken for his lair. Down there, he was safe from the monster boulders and whatnot the wind whales dropped when the urge took them. The Limper had set up in a room that was large and as damp and moldy as might be expected. But the light there was as bright as artificial sources could make it. The sculptors needed that light to do their work properly. The bodiless head of the Limper sat on a shelf, overlooking the work in progress. Two armed guards and one of the witch doctors watched too. The actual work was being done by three of the dozen priests who had survived the massacre of the monastery's inmates. They had no idea what their reward would be if they did a good job. They labored under the illusion that they would be allowed to resume the monastery's work when they finished and their guests departed. In the southwest corner, the highest of the enclosure, there was a small spring. The monastery drew its water from this. Below the spring, kept moist by its runoff, lay a bed of some of the finest potter's clay in the world. The monks had been using it for ages. The Limper had been delighted when he had learned of the deposit. The sculptors had the new body roughed into the Limper's satisfaction. It would be the body he'd always wished he'd had, not the stunted, crippled thing he'd had to endure when he'd had a body of his own. With the head on it, this would stand 6.5 feet tall, and the body itself would fit what the Limper imagined was every maiden's dream. About a third of the detail work was done, and it was very good work indeed, with all the tiny wrinkles and creases and pore holes of a real human body, but with none of the blemishes. Only one of the three monks was doing any sculpting. The other two were keeping the clay moist, basting its surface with oil that would keep that natural dampness in. Toad Killer Dog glanced at the clay figure only long enough to estimate how much longer their good luck would have to hold. He was not reassured. Surely, those things out there would stop procrastinating in a day or two. He retraced his route to the surface, prowled from wall to wall, eyeing potential routes of escape. When the hammer fell, he was going out of there at a gallop, straight at the talking stone and jump over. They would not expect him to bolt and leave the Limper to his fate. He would find a more reasonable patron somewhere else. The Limper was not the only one of the old ones who had survived. Chapter 30. It was not a companionable camp where we were set up east of the monastery, where the smell of bodies wasn't as bad. I mean, I did my best, and me and the Torque boys and the Talking Buzzard and a couple of the Talking Stones had us some pretty good bullshit sessions around the old campfire. But the rest of them acted like a bunch of little kids. Raven wasn't going to talk to Darling unless she made the first move. Silent wouldn't have nothing to do with Raven on account of he thought Raven was going to try to steal his girl. A girl he never really had. Darlin wasn't talking to Raven because she figured he owed her about 20 giant apologies, and he had to pay off before she gave him the time of day.